Okay, we generally have a problem with Yom Yerushalayim. I mean, I don't know if you do. I have a problem with Yom Yerushalayim. The problem with Yom Yerushalayim is that it's hard to connect to. Yeah. Well, do you have to live in Yerushalayim in order to connect to Yerushalayim?
No, but if you live in Yerushalayim, then there's no problem. It's Yom Yerushalayim. Kuf Chaf
Vav. What's that? No, it's a Kuf Chaf Bet. Yes, Kuf Chaf Bet. Very, very famous. If you have to live in, meaning in this country, we're not connected to Yom Yerushalayim. The country is. It's the only really minor holiday in the country. You know, yeah, Yom HaSamud, everybody does, all the Chagim. What?
Right. Most people are not off, everybody's in school.
Right, schools are on.
Or Tzvi'ah's off.
Tzvi'ah's off.
Right.
The girls are on, but they're ending at one thing.
Right, but there should be programs.
But they have,
but they have Yom HaShoalim program. At least in school, they have Yom HaShoalim program.
And the girls are going down.
And my son gets to go to, they go to Yerushalayim with a bunch of yeshivot, and they dance through the shul.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go. He could go.
But it's not until 4 o'clock.
In the afternoon.
That's when I start.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's when I start. 3, 4 o'clock.
There's no need to not have programming in school in the morning.
Tom, actually, he's going to do the dance.
Sometimes the programming, I don't know, it does something. Anyway, so the question is, what are we know technically what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the conquest of Yerushalayim, the recapture of the old city, the reunification. Is that what it's not called? Yom Shichur, it's Yichud or something. What's it called? It's called... I don't know what the official name is. But what exactly does that mean? You know, so we can go to the Kotel now? So we have more of an area? If I were to ask you really, you know, when we ask, we say, you know, everybody knows the famous quote, Har Habayit B'yadeinu. Is Har Habayit B'yadeinu?
No.
Okay, everybody says, no, of course not. Okay? Which is a sad commentary in and of itself. Is Yerushalayim a united city?
No. Yeah, it's not half of it under... Right, I was going to say Jordanian rule, but then I was going to change it.
Correct.
To
obviously, technically, Har Habayit is B'yadeinu, but you all said no. Why is it not? Because we can't do what we want, or we don't do what we want. We didn't say the same thing about half of Yerushalayim. There are half of Yerushalayim you would just never go to. Correct? Mm-hmm. Even though you could technically, theoretically go, you want to go to Har HaZeitim, you got to arrange some kind of, like, you know, security detail. You would never.
You never walk through Shush then to get to
the right. You know, some people won't even go through the Shuk. You know? So, what are we celebrating? The euphoria of the victory has long since worn off. So, there's something technical, but the deeper meaning hasn't been connected, hasn't been...
Well, I think most of the world thinks that we think the Kotel is the most important part of Yerushalayim.
Correct.
Instead of actually Har HaBayit.
We do. Most Jews do. Yeah. If you'd ask them.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know, what's the holiest place? Where did the Pope Shlita go visit yesterday? The holiest site in Judaism?
I would like to posit that
he didn't go visit us. He went to visit them, the Muslims.
Maybe today it is.
What?
Maybe today it is. Maybe the Kedusha has moved itself over a few feet. I really, like, and is now in a place where millions and millions of Jews have prayed for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that there's something about the Kedusha, the power of an Am and the power of generations davening at a place that brings the Kedusha down to that place, and that what's going on Har HaBayit right now isn't so Kodesh. So it has the intrinsic Kedusha that Hashem gave the mountain because the Beit HaMikdash was there. But there's a Kedusha that people bring to a place or that people create, which is probably a higher level because we have achieved it ourselves. So,
if we would rebuild the Beit HaMikdash tomorrow, today, where would you build it?
So I would probably, if the mosque were moved, I would probably build it on Har HaBayit,
yeah.
But out of a sense of two things. Number one, out of a sense of history, and number two, out of a sense of that was the mountain that Hashem chose for it to be built on. But that
right.
doesn't mean that today, right now, that that's the most kadosh place, I think. I don't know.
I personally strongly disagree.
I'm sure most people strongly disagree. I'm sure that most people strongly disagree. But I think that
I
go to the Kotel...
That's the place. That's the place. The reason we dive at the Kotel... The reason we daven at the Kotel, the only reason we daven at the Kotel is because it's the closest place that we can get to, because there's Tum'ah, because we're not allowed to go there.
No, I totally hear and understand and know all the counter-arguments,
yeah.
But I think that there's a tremendous power to the Am to create Kedusha. That we created the Kedusha of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the second time around, and that is a kedusha lanetzah. Right?
That's a whole year. Kedusha of a Beit Knesset, you're saying.
Right,
that,
that you make
the spot.
Right, that when you...
So what makes Yerushalayim a holy city? Why don't we just do it in, I don't know, Yad Bin Yamin? Who needs the Yerushalayim at all?
Because there is a sense of history. And also there's a sense, it's Yerushalayim that people have been coming to and davening at and yearning for. And, you know, it's not Teaneck, right?
Detroit is also Teaneck.
Do you know what Teaneck is?
Not
for us, but okay, yeah.
But I think we shouldn't, like... a little, but I think that the power that we imbue in that place, the kedusha that we bring to that place, is
I agree with you that the Am Yisrael has power to designate kedusha, yeah. But only to augment or to supplement that which God gives us. We don't create kedusha; we take what God gives us and we amplify it. So, but to say that we've decided now, God gave us Har HaBayit, and we've decided now, you know. They're there now, and they really think it's important to them. So therefore, we're going to move it over a couple hundred feet.
The situation that exists, and de facto, because that's where we're davening, that is the holiest place in Judaism right now.
Wow. I'm not going to respond.
Okay.
I think what you just... I mean, okay, I'll respond. I think what you just said is the greatest danger of the Kotel. It's almost like saying, well... because we do X, Y, Z now, so therefore that has replaced the thing that's been given to us.
It's a different level.
For right now, I don't
have
think...
Have you been to Har
HaBayit? As I said, when you go to Har HaBayit, when God willing, we'll rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, we'll rebuild it there. It's not that it replaces it, but it's that in now, here and now, we have given it...
The only reason we've given it to that is because...
I don't think the Kedusha is anywhere near on the same plane as the Kedusha of Har HaBayit. I think, like I said before, I think it's the Kedusha of a Beit Knesset. The Kedusha that any Jews bring to any place where they, you know, where they daven a lot. You know, the Kedusha of Kever Rachel, maybe. But I don't... I wouldn't... Right, Ma'arat HaMachpelah, but I don't think
Jews from all over the world are not davening at Kever Rachel or Ma'arat HaMachpelah. I think the power of the people...
But why are the Jews coming to this place?
They can't get onto Har HaBayit.
Right.
Of course.
Wow,
I wouldn't see this going this way. Anyway, okay. I just strongly disagree with you. Put it that way. Which is my right. We're going to read Kuf Chaf Bet. Very famous perek in Tehillim, and focus on one pasuk right now, and then maybe if we have time at the end, we'll read the last part. Shira ma'alot li David, samachti ba'omim li beit Adonai nelech. Samachti, I was happy when they said to me, when they tell me, beit Hashem nelech, I'm going to the house of God. Beit Hashem?
We are going to the house
of God. Beit Hashem nelech, let us go to the house of God. Omdot hayu ragleinu bisharayich Yerushalayim. Our feet stood in your gates, Yerushalayim. And this is the pasuk I want to focus on. Yerushalayim habinuya ki'ir shechubra la yachdav. The built Yerushalayim, the constructed Yerushalayim, as a city. Now I need help. Shechubra la yachdav. Kuf chapet. Okay. Laura. Yeah.
It seems like a double lashon.
Okay.
Chubra la yachda, meaning connected to her, together with it.
Shechubra la, it is connected to her, yachdav.
Together with it.
With what? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the implication of this pasuk? What is it trying to say? That what is being connected? A city, shechubra la, the chubra is chubar, it is
the
connected.
Shira,
no? Okay. Shechubra la. Very nice, actually. That's what Mepharshim say. Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata. That there's an... just like this idea that there's a Beit HaMikdash Shalmala and a Beit HaMikdash Shalmata. Shechubrala. How does that happen? Yachdav. What is Yachdav? It is connected. Yachdav.
Together with it.
Together with what? The language is hard to understand. This is very, very vague. But what we can, the sense that you get from this pasuk is that the power of the city is to connect. Lechaber, chibur. It's connecting something. It's connecting heaven and earth. It's connecting Let's look at it.
It seems to imply that by nature, Yerushalayim is fragmented or fractured, and that there's some... That only Yerushalayim Habnuya is an Ir Shechubra Yachdav.
Okay.
Maybe it's the Shvatim that it's in
Chaver. Very nice. Yerushalayim Alu Shvatim, Eidut Yisrael, Lehodot Hashem Hashem. Right? It was also a rallying point for the different Shvatim. Right? Everybody agreed around Yerushalayim. What do you mean?
Only once.
Once David and Ralph united it.
And they weren't allowed to bring their Ramot, to build their Ramot anymore. Then they didn't really have a choice. And it was only for a short amount of time. It wasn't even David, it was Shlomo. And it was only until he died, because once he died, Yerubam took over and moved and built a
Yeah, we are yearning for this really tiny slice of Jewish history. But okay.
Maybe we're not yearning for history. Maybe we're yearning for destiny. Maybe we're not,
ideal.
Yeah.
That we had a glimpse of.
Right. Kisot lemishpat, kisot lebeit David. There sat the kisot lemishpat, the chairs, the seats of justice, kisot lebeit David. By the way, those are not two the same thing. Kisot lemishpat is what? What is that referring to?
Religious
mishpat, mishpat, Sanhedrin. Kisot lebeit David. No. Well,
Beit David is temporal leadership.
Beit David is the monarchy. Right, it's interesting that in the same that the king, we've all been to Ir David, right? So the king, the Beit HaMelech was down the hill, and then on top of the hill there was a Beit HaMikdash, and in the Beit HaMikdash, especially in Beit Sheni, there was both the Beit HaMikdash, the religious leadership, but the spiritual leadership, and also the Sanhedrin, which was the Kiseh LeMishpat, the judicial leadership, as it were.
Religious, spiritual.
There's no such thing as non-judicial religious, judicial non-religious.
Right.
It's all the same.
Okay.
Mishpat and Beit David are different things.
Right.
So it's uniting those things as well. Because one could see them as having very different goals. One could see them as having very different aims.
What do you mean you're uniting them? That the ideal is that the political leadership and the religious leadership will be one?
No. That they'll be focused on the same thing.
Oh, I see.
Are those, and as we see today, those are not necessarily true. You know, if you would ask most Israelis today, where would you like the capital of Israel to be?
Yerushalayim.
Why?
No doubt.
No, forget the political ramifications.
No, it's
the
spiritual
symbolic and historical ramifications.
What are the symbolic ramifications? Do you think so? Why? And then that's why. Forget the history. That's all we want. Forget the history. What does it mean?
Forget the history. That's what there is.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
It's the say that Yerushalayim sovereignty at our highest, as you said, a tiny part of time, at our highest religious and political point. And when the Shekhinah was with us, and when Hashem was with us, and everything was good.
Oh. So that's you said it beautifully, but would most Israelis agree with that?
I think
when,
so.
You said when God was with us, and meaning, are they looking for?
Yeah.
All right, very good. It's a very interesting question about I don't know if you follow, there's this guy named Yehuda Glick who I follow on his Facebook feed. You know, you're familiar with Yehuda Glick?
The Beit HaMikdash guy.
He's a Beit HaMikdash guy. That's his thing. He's not the Beit HaMikdash guy.
He's Rav Tal's brother-in-law.
Really?
He's a Har Habayit guy.
Okay,
he goes and leads tours of Har Habayit. He obviously believes that we should control Har Habayit, but he's very nonviolent about it. But the Arabs don't like him at all for good reason, because he's a threat to them. His presence is a threat to them. So he goes and leads tours, and every time he leads a tour, so somebody throws rocks at him. So the police, doing what police do, they banned him from Har Habayit. Okay, this is the second or third or fourth time they've been in from Har Habayit. So he went on a hunger strike. And so his hunger strike lasted for however long, and then he decided that's not working, because the first time it worked, actually, the first time the police backed down, this time it didn't work. And so now he appealed to the Supreme Court, actually.
How many days was he on a hunger strike?
60, 70 days, something like that.
He
drinks. He drinks at the same time.
He drinks and he ate something on Shabbos, like a little bit.
A little bit.
To be yotzei.
Right,
He goes for regular blood test. Every time he goes for a blood test, it's in the news.
It is. He's very well known.
I don't know. I think he also knows how to play the political, the journalism game. Yes.
Very good, very good. I mean, in the newspapers about Yom Yerushalayim, he's a very, very prominent figure. Why shouldn't Jews have the right to this issue? And should Jews have the right to pray on Har HaBayit? Is an issue in the Knesset? It's in the Knesset today. It's a halachic issue. Some Jews want to pray on Har HaBayit, and some rabbanim allow it. So you asked me, do I go to Har HaBayit? I did not, because my rabbanim said I should not go. And,
but it's painful.
It's very difficult for me not to do it. But I think there's more and more rabbanim today that are saying that it's okay, especially since there's...
I mentioned that to them.
areas that you don't go to, you know, like when people go to Har HaBayit, it's not like they're going...
That's right. The classic. The people who are classic students of Rav Kook, Rav Kook was against it. He was against it.
Rabbanu Rashid was always against it.
What's that?
I said, can I change your mind? I think they're going tomorrow.
My rabbanim changed their mind. Then I'll change my mind. Really, I think that's how I function. So anyway, but he is right. He is right to be in a Har HaBayit. So this is the issue. Why are we fighting about this? Like. Really, if the Knesset passes a law that says that Jews are permitted to pray on Har HaBayit, it's actually legal to pray on Har HaBayit, the police just won't let you do it because of Seder and whatever. Let's say that's the law. What will happen? What will happen? First time there's a minyan on Har HaBayit. Right. Okay. Is it worth it?
Would they get upset even if you look like you're...
So imagine though when there's a minion the first time.
Well, a lot of times there actually is a minion because there's a group of guys that are going to get
him. Right, and they're like secretly talking, saying.
Like they think they're talking, but they're.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable in the Holy Land, in this state of Israel, that in the holiest place for Judaism, that we have to. It's like, it sounds like Moranos, doesn't it? It sounds like, you know what they did in Spain in the 1400s.
But it's not only.
No? You have to fake praying. You ever
hyperbole, okay.
But you ever see that? You ever see the videos?
Hyperbole. Yeah.
But it's Israeli police also that are.
The Israeli police won't let you dive and won't let you say Divrei Kedusha.
They don't want to go to the right afterwards.
Is it worth it? Isn't it what you said? But isn't that the idea of. This idea of. Shama Lushiteya. Shama Yeshu Kisod the Bishpot Kisod the Beit David. Why do I care about Yerushalayim? I care about Yerushalayim because I care about the center of Yerushalayim, because I care about that place. If you take that place away, Yerushalayim is not Yerushalayim. It's not. It loses all of its significance. So we are glommed onto the tafel, oh, Yerushalayim, and we love the Jerusalem stone and the idea of the place, but the place itself, we're mevater. The place that's actually the holiest place, the place that's the most important, the most significant, we're mevater.
And why do they make such a big deal of it? Because they know that.
So maybe it is worth the fight. I don't know. It's not for me to say. Is it for me to say? I don't know.
That was triggered by
Arya Sharon.
But triggered by Sharon going there. How many people died in the second intifada? And how much bloodshed and violence and heartache? And it's hard to say if it's worth it. And nothing changed. So
they didn't try to.
Not that he was trying to change something there, but
no. Nobody knows what he was trying. Nobody knows. But all I'm saying is, if that's the place, what does it mean we have Yom Yerushalayim, but we are Mevater on the place that Yom Yerushalayim was supposed to represent? Har HaBayit B'yadeinu. That's what they talk about. They play that, what? That's it. It's supposed to be symbolic. That's all.
No, it's not supposed to be, but at the moment, that's where we're holding.
So, why? Why are we holding there?
Because of
the political situation is because why? Because not enough people think that it's important enough to say, if the state of Israel decided, let's say 70%, which is a huge majority, 70% of Israelis said, Har HaBayit is a critical value to us. And instead of saying that Jews can pray on it. And we'll do what we need to do in order to make sure that we can pray on it. Whatever needs to be done.
Well, I think partially because of our own halachic ambivalence, even though
we don't have halachic ambivalence. It's not. There's no halachic ambivalence. It's the holiest place in Judaism.
No. But I mean, you won't go up to it.
What?
You won't go up to it.
That's fine.
Okay. So I'm saying that's halachic ambivalence.
Why is that halachic ambivalence?
About whether you.
It's not that I don't think. I don't think anybody should go up there, according to my halachic position.
That's exactly my point. You can't.
You absolutely can. Why can't I say this place is so holy, no one can go there?
Oh, you mean. Take the mosques off and...
No one can go there. That's right.
Can I say something totally... I'm not sure I believe this, but I'll just talk it out loud. Maybe Ir Shechubra Layachdav not only means the, you know, uniting the Shvatim, but maybe it means uniting all of the datot, right? The Beit Mikdash is supposed to be kibei beit kibilal kol ha'amim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So maybe there's an element, while we don't want to be mevaker on that place at all, there's something extraordinary about the fact that when Israel took over the other half of Jerusalem, all of a sudden, all three of the major religions could worship at their holy sites.
Except one.
We can't worship.
Except for us.
Except one.
I don't know.
What?
I mean...
I'm not agreeing with you. That's my holy site. That's my holy site. And there will come a time to see that what you said is about the religion is correct. But we believe that all the religions come to God through the true religion, through Yahdut. And ultimately, the best thing for humanity and mankind is if we build the Beit HaMikdash and we reestablish the presence of the Shekhinah in the world. Isn't that, don't we believe that's the ideal? That's the thing that we're all yearning for?
Right, I guess the question is...
You know, somehow you're a fanatic when you say, I want to build the Beit HaMikdash.
Since they didn't have the right...
Shibana Beit HaMikdash.
They would have started building, same like another religion would start building their temple right away. Boom. Like, okay, it's ours now. We're moving in. Instead of the ambivalence, like, we left it there. Like, it's ours and we want it, but we can't go, but maybe we can.
So that's the question. The question you're asking is, I think Rav Kook believed, the way I sense it, Rav Kook believed that, yes, to build Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, we have to do. But there's a point at which you have to say, no, there's a Yad Hashem involved as well. You can't think that you have the right to force God's hand. You have to create the conditions for it to happen. But ad kedei kach to say, I'm going to build the Beit HaMikdash by hook or by crook without divine intervention, that you can't
do. But they did go and they cleared out the Kotel and they made it accessible to Jews. But if they had done that on the Har Habayit, then maybe Jews would be able to go.
If they had done it then, they could have established a status quo that nobody would have argued with.
Right, but they didn't. Instead, they just did the Kotel.
You know why they didn't? Why didn't they? What? Why felt they couldn't?
They were scared.
After the Six-Day War, they're on this unbelievable high, and they're still afraid of what the religions of the world would say. Okay, and what does that come from? That comes from, again, this sense of Jewish inferiority, this lack of a sense that, no, this is important because this is what we have to do, this is our job to do, this is our responsibility. I'm not doing it against the world. Yes, the world will be mad at me. Sometimes I've got to do something against the world because this is what's best for the world.
They just defeated three nations. Maybe they were afraid of the other ones.
That's right.
Like, they couldn't deal with Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq, right?
You can say it. You can disagree with me.
I'm not sure it stems from Jewish inferiority. I think maybe it stems from...
I think it is. If people are not so sure of themselves, let's go into it already. You know, like, I think everybody's worried about what everybody else thinks.
Right.
Just doing what's right for us.
I don't think what they think. I think of the actual consequences of the...
I don't think there would have been... At that time, in that place, in that situation, what consequences are you afraid of? They already attacked you and you beat the snot out of them.
No, but there were lots of other countries that you didn't beat.
And you think that they were interested in getting involved? At that time?
Maybe they thought they would over Harbaugh.
Look, and now, sitting here...
They weren't interested in conquering Yerushalayim either.
I didn't say that, but at that moment...
It wasn't, no. If you read the history, at least, have you ever read what's the name, Avner's thing about the prime ministers? He says that if it weren't for Begin, they wouldn't have even tried to conquer the old city in the first place.
What? Because they were...
They don't know. It was ambivalent. Did you read it?
No.
Right. You can't even believe, like, he had to, like, fight with them in the Knesset to say, hello. It wasn't a priority for them. But I think that's my ultimate message. It will be a priority when we make it a priority for this country. When we somehow teach the country that Yom Yerushalayim is more important than Yom Ha'atzmaut. Yom Ha'atzmaut is just the prelude to what Yom Yerushalayim is supposed to have represented. And today it's the other way around. Ha'atzmaut is important, and yes, it's a day. Even here, Yom Ha'atzmaut in Shul is unbelievable. Right? Go to Yom Yerushalayim tonight. What's it going to be? Curious. Right? They're so scheduled to be locked
up.
What?
Right.
So there's a thing in the... It's not fair in the shul because there's a thing in the school and a lot of the parents go to the school.
The thing is that until, you know...
I'm saying myself. I'm not into it. It's not Yom HaTzmaut. You get excited about it. It's a thing. I'm not walking from Yavne to Yerushalayim to school.
Okay, I want to say it.
Fine.
Because in the school that I teach in Kusayavna felt also they wanted to keep this connection to Yerushalayim. So starting in 1967, every year, the night before Yom Yerushalayim, the 12th grade walks from to Yerushalayim. They daven. So in the beginning it was from Yavne, then they moved it to like Harel area.
Wow.
This year they're back, they're starting again from Yavne. It's 12th grade. How many? It's like 40 kilometers or something. It's some insane. They walk.
Yeah, it's fine.
They walk the whole night. They get to Yerushalayim. I met them. One second. I met them last year in Yerushalayim. It was the most meaningful Yom Yerushalayim. I did not walk from there. There are teachers who do, and there are teachers who meet them on the way, and there are teachers who meet them at Shacharit. You know, they dominate at Motzah, and then they go up through Hadassah, and then they mamash. They like walk. They're walking down Yafo with these huge Israeli flags and this big loudspeaker system and singing Yerushalayim songs. It was, and the Rikud Zgalim is not till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so like nothing's going on. It was turning heads positively through the entire city.
Yeah. How many students are in the 12th grade?
In the 12th grade, maybe 60, 70.
You but should make it a thing.
Teachers,
you should get the schools here to join them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Join the march.
I'm going to give you another interpretation of what it means, Ir Shechubra La Yachdav. Okay? So I'm going to read a couple of sources just to make you aware of this idea of Chibur, this connection of the split of Yerushalayim and the Chibur. Because Yerushalayim is always, always a split city. It meant two different things to different people. Okay? First of all, so source number one. Source number one. Okay, we're going to skip to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Abraham, he beat the five kings, the four kings, I don't remember. Zvayitzei melech Sidom, Pasuk Yud Zayin dikrato, achoi shuvo meakot et kedala omer, veta melachim ito asher ito, et al emek shavehu emek ha-melech, umalki tzedek melech shalem, hotzi lecha b'yayin, v'hu kohen el elyon. And there was this guy named Malki Tzedek. We don't really know much about this guy, Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek melech shalem, there's this place called Shalem. Okay, and he is the kohen le'el elyon. Yes, we're going to see. I'm going to show you in a second. Right? Shalem is another name for Yerushalayim. It's not another name. It's...
It is.
Right, exactly. It's half. Hold on, one second. Okay? And it's ironic, or not ironic, it's interesting that the king of this place is a Kohen Le'el Elyon. That even back then, even the time of Avraham Avinu, before Avraham Avinu made this place the place that it is, right? There's another person who's in this place who understands that the person who controls this place... The entity, or whoever it is, has some kind of spiritual significance. So you have two commentaries. First, look at number three. Okay? Maki Tzedek, Midrash Agadah, Hushem ben Noach. He is the Shem, the progenitor of all the Semitic religions. He's the first Semite. Okay? Maki Tzedek, look at Yonatan ben Uziel, Umalki Siyonatan ben Uziel, on the left side, on your head. Umalka Tzadika. Hushem ben Noach Malka de Yerushalayim. Right, so it's not even just it's a midrash that this place of Shalem is Yerushalayim, but they called it Shalem. They didn't call it Yerushalayim. That it was somehow in their mind complete. They
and
had a complete.
Shem and Avraham
decontemporaries.
That's what I was
going to
say. Are they all from generations? Like nine generations.
How long did Shem? When did he die? Where's the book? I don't know. Leave it above.
You're just wrong.
What? How long did he live?
I don't know, but nine generations is all an awful.
Well, they all lived a long time. Shem, how long did Shem, Ham, and Yafet? They all lived, but he was already 600, how old was he? 500 maybe, when during the time of the Mabul? Okay, so obviously what's the point of the Midrash?
500 years.
How long he lived?
Yeah.
How long after the Mabul did he die? Hard to know.
No, 498,
It doesn't factually have to be true. What's the point? It doesn't have factually, it's a Midrash, so what's the point? But the idea of Shem ben Noach, Ham and Yafet, what happened to Ham and Yafet? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Shem is the person that's supposed to... What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, yes.
Yeah, okay. But, and look at Ramban in a second. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem says Ramban, number two. Hi Yerushalayim, kinan shneemar, v'yehi b'shalem suko. You can, I already quoted in Petilim Ayin Vav. Right, this place, it's called, even we call it Shalem. Suko, the sukkah, right, is... We refer to the Beit HaMikdash as Sukkat David. Umalka yikurei b'shem Yehoshua Adonit Tzedek. Ki mi'az yadu ha-goyim. From then, that time, the nation is new. Ki ha-makomu mivchar mekomot be'emtza yishuv. It's the best place, in the middle of Yishuv. By the way, topographically, what's great about Yerushalayim? What?
Hayah.
Fortified. Correct. It's defended on a couple of sides. Nowadays, less so, because it's already been built up all the way to the other side. But it was always, you wanted to get up to it. You had to come up only one way.
It's hard for David to capture it.
It's very hard. Yavus. It's incredibly hard. You've all been here, David, right?
Yeah.
Many times. I got to go back. Okay.
That's what I hate about Manila.
What do you mean? It made it easy to get to?
When I was here in Manila, it used to be that you would walk towards the old city and all of a sudden, like, it would loom out from, you know, it would just be this huge thing on the hilltop and you could see it from all sides.
Right.
And then they built Manila.
That's what you hate about Manila? You're not like, you know, Ember and Crombie and Fitch as you're walking into, you know.
But, you know, just even from the outside, like, it just, lost some of that, like, majestic.
Oshiyadu, or they knew, ma'alato be'kabbalah. They had some kind of Kabbalah. They knew it was great. Shehu mechuvan keneged beit hamikdash shel mala. We have to believe that Malki Tzedek was a spiritual person, that they knew that this was a place, that this was a significant place. Shesham shechinato shel hakadosh baruch hu shenikra Tzedek. Malki Tzedek. God is also a name of God, is Tzedek. So they knew that this was the place of God. That place. Not the lower place behind it, not the wall, not the whatever, that place. Ubeshit Rabbah, makom ezem matzdik et yoshvav. Umar ki tzedek, Adoni tzedek, nikret Yerushalayim tzedek. Shneemar tzedek yalin la. Okay? Now tzedek, by the way, is the opposite of what? What value? Tzedakah is the opposite of?
Chesed?
No, tzedek and chesed are similar. Chesed is the opposite of? Mishpat. Okay? Shesham of two. What do we say? What do we say about Yerushalayim?
Tzedek is opposite of Mishpat. I think Tzedek is Mishpat.
Tzedakah is not Mishpat. No. Mishpat is Tzedakah. No.
Tzedakah and Tzedek are two different things. So we're going to do the same thing.
Tzedek
is justice. Yeah. We think of it as
Tzedek Terdo.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. I'll take it. Okay. Very good. Next one. Source number five. Obviously the other one that you all know. Avraham Avinu comes to
Eretz
Moriah. Eretz Moriah. Okay? Da, 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 da. One second. Dalit. First we started Dalit. What? Yesterday was Maria's birthday. See, I'm connected to Yerushalayim. We're like, you know, bleeding heart, whatever.
Is that why she's named Maria?
That's exactly why she's named Maria.
She's born in Yerushalayim.
ביום השלישי ויישא אברהם את עיניו וירא את המקום מרחוק. פסוק ד'. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw המקום מרחוק. Obviously it's a double meaning. He saw the place, right? And what's המקום also referred to?
Hashem.
But where did he see God? He saw God in that place. So it's not only this or that, it's this and that. That he saw המקום. Okay, and the Midrash, if you look at number 7, turn to the second page for a second. Look at number 7. Vayarta makom mirachok. Ma ra'ah, what did he see? See source number 7? Ra'ah anan kashur bahar. He saw a cloud in the mountain. Amar domesh to makom shamar li akadosh baruch hu v'akriv et bini sham. Right? So it must be the place that God told me. Remember, because when God said, I want you to sacrifice your son, what did he say? Where did he tell him to do it? And the place that I will show you, tell you, that place. Meaning Abraham said, where should I go? And God said, when you get there, you'll know.
Was there like a king there and stuff happening?
It's really, raise a great question. You always have in your mind, it's like, this, right? Oh, you always have in your mind that it's this barren place. But now he's like, what's that going to do? Melchizedek lived there. They're all like, hey, Abraham, hey. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you doing? Nothing. It's a very interesting question. You know, it's probably not as abandoned as one might think. Probably not. Okay.
It's interesting
what you picture. Yeah. Okay. Amar li Yitzhak b'no. He said, B'ni. Amar li Yitzhak. He said to Yitzhak, I'm at number 7 still. B'ni ro'eh ata ma'ashani ro'eh. Do you see what I see? Amar le hen. Yeah, I see it. Amar li shnei ne'arav. Who were the shnei ne'arav? Yishmael and Eliezer. Ro'im atem ma'ashani ro'eh. Do you guys see what I see? Amru lo, lav. Ama ho'il v'chamor enono ro'eh, v'atem enchem ro'im. You can't see it, and the donkey can't see it. Shvu lachem po'i machamor. You can stay with the donkey. What?
We did ask the donkey.
What's fascinating about it? Right, maybe Bilam the donkey did see. Who knows?
Right, Bilam's donkey saw more than...
And Bilam's donkey was whose donkey?
Abraham's donkey.
Same donkey. Right, the donkey was like, you know, like... Okay. What's interesting about it is the uniqueness of spirituality of Yerushalayim is not something that everyone sees. It's only someone who is divinely inspired to see Hamakom. Only then do you see that place. Do you see that holiness. You have to learn to see that thing. So obviously, now let's go back to the Akedah, source number 5.
There are very few people that can go to the Kotel and come away not having felt...
I don't know. I always feel bad when they bring those dignitaries there. You know what I'm saying? They bring the dignitaries there and they stick them up against the wall for the photo op and they're like...
Okay, it's a wall.
Yeah, there you go. You know what I'm saying?
What?
The Jewish ones?
The Jewish ones and the non-Jewish ones. You know, the poor Michael Bloomberg, they stick him up against the Kotel, and he's got to go there, and you know what I'm saying? Did he feel anything? I'm not. Who am I to judge? You know? I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Why?
I would be surprised if he did just because of the context in which he goes.
Why? Why do you say that? Like it's a photo op. I have to... I don't often... Very rarely. Sometimes I do. Usually I don't feel this emotional pull to this wall. It's kadosh to me because God said it's kadosh. It's special to me because God said it's special. Why do I have to feel some catharsis in order to make it what it is?
No,
I know, I'm a brisker. I was raised in, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not. I am an emotional person. You know what I'm saying? I am very emotional. You know, but
doesn't it help you down a bit on knowing that meaning?
Knowing what?
Knowing that this is special. It was kadosh. You're close to Shekhinah, you're going to get like... Close
to
the holy place that you're
going to
get, and that helps you
down
a bit, and therefore you feel something.
You should try going without the kids.
Maybe. It could very well be that maybe the times that I go, you're absolutely correct. Yes. Could very well be the times that I go, I'm always
distracted.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
You're with the family, and somebody's waiting for you, and
right,
could very well be.
I'll tell you that when I
have to be honest with you, the circus makes it impossible for me to focus.
Wait a minute, but when we
you know what I'm saying? Whenever you go, I don't know how it's for women. It must be worse for the women because
no,
there's less
quiet
space.
On women, but it's
quiet.
Everyone's quiet.
It's never quiet on the men's side.
On the men's section, it's different. Right. You're always trying. The people are always trying to get them in.
Yes.
No, the women's section is not like that.
There is no really. It's interesting.
The
minion and somebody snoring you and pushing you around. Yeah.
But it's not really stopped it. They're not
allowed
to come close.
Whatever. So I don't usually feel it. But does that maybe I'm a worse person? I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? It's I see it for a different reason. I see it because of the sources, because of what I'm taught. So what does Abraham call it? Abraham is there, he saw it. Okay? At the end, of course, at the end of the Akedah, on back at number 5. Da 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 da. Vayisa Abraham pasuk yud gimel. Vayisa Abraham et einav. He lifted up his eyes. The same, by the way, phrase that we saw when he looked up and he saw the place from Rachok. You see, pasuk dalid. Vayisa Abraham et einav. Here also, Vayisa Abraham et einav. Vayar. Vayar vihine ayon neachaz basvach bakrana. Okay, when Abraham lifts up his eyes and sees, what is he seeing? He's seeing the divine. So he lifted up his eyes and he saw the ayah, the ram. This ain't no ram. Okay, this is a special ram. This is a divine ram. Right? Let's be honest. When's the last time you ever saw a ram in the woods, stuck in the thicket, waiting for you?
Not
hello?
In the woods, he's on a mountain.
In the mountain, right. God...
We'll see.
Asher ye amer hayom behar Hashem ye ra'eh. That should be said today on the mountain of God, ye ra'eh. Will be seen. Which one is it? Is God sees or is seen? Very hard to understand.
Is it Bahar Hashem Yira'eh or Bahar Hashem Yira'eh?
Look at the trap.
I don't know trap.
Bahar Hashem.
Bahar Hashem. Yeah, you know that. Otherwise it would be Bahar Hashem Yira'eh.
Okay.
You understand? It's Merchat Tipcha.
I do. That's why I asked you.
Yes.
Because I don't know what it means.
The
I asked you to teach me.
Okay. Har Hashem Yireh. I'm sorry. I thought you
That's why I want to learn. I told you.
Tameh Amikra is critically important. It's so unfair to girls that they don't learn Tameh Amikra. It's a they should definitely teach girls how to lane, even if not doing it in public, so that they're aware of it. Did you? They teach it in Orod also. You did learn the stops and the starts? It's not fair. It's also not fair because my son, the things that he's laned, he just knows the psukim. Well, I'll be learning Mishnah with him, and I'll be like, next word. And sometimes if he's laned it, he knows it. Because the tune gives you a way of connecting to it. Yeah. But we can't do that because it's like, whatever. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so we see Har Hashem Yireh, Yireh, God will see, God will be seen. Which one is it? Or both, of course. Right? It's both. But he gave it a new name. What's the difference between, why do you call, it's the place is already called Shalem.
One is from Abraham's perspective, and one is from today's, everybody's perspective.
That Har Hashem Yireh.
Yeah, Hashem Makom Hahu. He says, "Like Abraham, Hashem Makom Hahu, Hashem Yireh," because Hashem saw him, saw what he was doing, mm-hmm. and intervened. Asher Yameh Hayom, and today we call that place. We talk about it. Bahar Hashem Yireh, Hashem will be seen.
Oh, I think the Torah is going back and saying, "Now we say."
What else does it mean? Asher Yameh Hayom.
I thought that's what he said.
You think that's part of his quote?
Yes.
I don't. I think that's Everyone? The Torah speaking.
I couldn't answer
like
that.
Like the Hakna, I mean, as
I'm sure it's a machloket.
Okay.
I'm sure. But it's a pasuk that's very vague and very open to interpretation. Har Hashem Yireh. Why do you give it a name? It already had a name. And it was called Shalem.
He did that all the time.
It was called Shalem.
I know, but he did
yeah,
that all
the
time.
Yeah, but that's like Stamina.
What? Shalem is Stamina name? Shalem is an awesome name.
No, but also, when you name something, you take control of it. Or you show that you have some level of ba'alut over it. So
Lud became Beit El,
right? Adam and Chava name all the animals, parents name children.
What?
You also add quality when you add a name.
Mm-hmm.
Before
you change
the
quality.
For a holiday, you add a name because...
You add a name because you want to add a quality. So what did you want to add that wasn't there before? Meaning it was Shalem. They already, I mean, according to the Ramban, they already knew that it was a divine place.
With Holim, I think you add a name because you want to fool the...
The name that we add is because you want to, is usually Chayim or Chaya, because you want to add the quality of life also.
Well, let's go back to this. What did Avraham add if you add a quality? Shalem versus Yireh. If it's Shalem is like a great, I think Shalem is an awesome name. Shalem is like, it's whole, it's complete. It's complete. If you'd ask me, fascinatingly, I'm going to suggest Alderich. I'm going to suggest what? I'm going to suggest Alderich Drush something that's going to be Mishalev, what you spoke about in the beginning. Shalem means, if something is Shalem, it's whole, God. It's, if it's God's place, what does that imply about our role in that place? It's Shalem. Who needs you? It's Shalem. What did Abraham come and do? What did God tell Abraham about that place?
Connection.
That Abraham came and said about that place, yes, it's my place, but the goal of mankind in this world is
to put
God there in your actions. Har Hashem Yireh. How is Har Hashem Yireh? Through the actions that you do in service of me. That God will be seen when, it's not just I'm there, of course I'm there, but I need you to be there in order to complete. And by the way, that's the beauty of Yahadut, that there's a presence of God, but we, our role is to bring that out, is to demonstrate it, is to prove it, is to establish it in a sense. Now look back at number 8. Look
and
at number 8 for a second.
Say one sentence.
Yes.
Name Yerushalayim, take Shalem and the
Otiot. Source number 8. Source number 8. Vayikra Hashem, Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. At Motzei, you find, Shenikra Beit HaMikdash Shalem, Shneemar Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. VaAbraham Kara LeBeit HaMikdash Yireh, Shneemar Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. Amar HaMakom. God said, Im Ekra Oto Shalem Kemo Shekar Oshem, if I only call it Shalem, Ani Avatel Divrei Avraham, Ohavi Shekaru Yireh. If I call it Yireh, etc. Now, what do we call, what did David HaMelech call it? Ir Shechubra La Yachdav. Right? It's a city that's Shechubra La Yachdav, that combines together. Okay? Shalem represents not Judaism. What does Shalem represent? I'm sorry, Shame. Who is Shame? He's not Judaism. Avraham is. Shame is humanity.
Shame is civilization. The ideal that we're talking about when he recognizes Hashem.
Correct. Avraham is godliness. We don't negate the role of the nations of the world and the importance that they have and the connection they have with that place. But it manifests itself when we add Yera'eh. It becomes a complete place when we add Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. And that's something. Yeah, that's something that we're missing. We're missing. We have Yom HaTzmaut. We built this country. We built this amazing country. But we can't lose sight of the goal. And the goal of Yom is not just to have built this amazing country and to be this amazing, home for the Jewish people, but it's this role of Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. And if you'd ask me, I was thinking about it this morning. The most meaningful work we can do, we have to do, is to bring the Jewish people in this country and around the world to a place where they come to that recognition. Yes, we did the physical work. We should continue to do the physical work. And it's critical and it's important. Now we got to move to stage two. We're at a place now, thank God, where the planes defend us and we're in a position of great strength. Thank God. But what are we going to do with that strength? Are we going to use it to bring us to a place where now we're a more spiritual country, we're a more rooted country, where we believe in Bahar Hashem Yira'eh? Or we're just now going to, we do our thing and they do their thing. And that's a responsibility that we have to see. It's time to move and to take a turn and pivot and say, okay, now what? And one gets a sense that a lot of the country is wondering that question. Okay, now what? If you're here and you believe in it and it's important, now what? And someone's going to answer that question. And the answer, we know what the answer is and we know what the answer will be. But the question is how do we get from point A to point B? And one day, we will celebrate, the whole country will celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. And I think that's what makes it most difficult for me. It can't just be a chag for the datiyim. And every time, and in my cerebral sense, every time that it's only the kids go, and the religious kids go, the kids go between you and me.
They go to hang out.
Forget to hang out. My son likes it because they go, and they go through the shuk, and they show the Arabs. They show the Arabs.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
They're not showing them anything. That's why I said to him, you're showing them, you're going to go home. They're staying. So, meaning, what? You know what I'm saying? That's great. It will be, I think that's the thing that bothers me. It's the same thing that bothers me about the Kotel. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's a time or it's a place. This is our place. They visit us down there and they visit them up there. We'll know Yom Yerushalayim is what it's supposed to be when the whole country celebrates Yom Yerushalayim and understands and appreciates this is our place.
On holiday. If they would make it a national holiday, we'd be so much closer to that.
I see. It's the other way around. Don't put the cart before the horse. When it's important, it'll become a national holiday. And everyone will say, how is it this is not a day off? What?
I think sometimes you have to make some actions to help people.
So this is, again, the issue of the Har HaBayit. Is it something that's a process that we have to that has to come, or we have to force it? And that's the machloket about Har HaBayit itself. Can you force it? Or at some point you have to say, when we're there, when we're ready, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, you're ready.
But also, until a time where the Shema is taken off the political table, then there will always be people in the country who are ambivalent about it.
Meaning, it's not worth the political ramifications.
Yeah.
Negotiations. It's only up for grabs. Because what's his name? Former Prime Minister that's him, right. Because he didn't think that anybody cared enough. It wasn't important enough.
He didn't think he'd be voted out by
Correct. He obviously thought that if he could achieve peace at that time, then enough people would be supportive of it.
It was up for grabs way before that.
So my point is, we would never do it.
He got his just desserts.
We would never do that. We would never agree to it. What?
He said he got his just desserts.
Indeed.
Yeah, he did. But we would never do it. But if enough of the country would, that's our problem. It's an educational problem more than anything else. We got work to do.